Good morning to each one. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we come to you. We are so grateful, Lord, that you do hear and answer prayer. We thank you for being here this morning, for ministering to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us as we look into your word. May your Holy Spirit have free course in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, for the anointing of your Spirit, that I would preach your word in power. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think we always enjoy coming to Wisconsin. We don't necessarily enjoy the trip, but we enjoy being here. Yeah. Well, I've been very blessed here this morning. And this memory passage that y'all gave this morning is a passage that just meant so much to me. The truths that are taught there. And I'm just going to throw out a question to you to ponder on. What made the wise men, the wise virgins wise? And what made the foolish virgins foolish? And if you look in there, it'll show you what it was, the difference between the wise and the foolish. And as I looked at that, it came to me that we're not very wise when we look at situations, things that we have to deal with, and say, well, the Bible doesn't say I can't do this. That's not a wise way to look at things. That's really a legalistic way of looking at things. We hear a lot about legalism today. That's legalism. One other thing, this word watch. Sleeplessly awake. We live in a day when we need to be sleeplessly awake because there's dangers all around. And Jesus wants us to be, yes, wide awake. He wants us to know where we are and what's going on, how the enemy is coming against us. Well, this morning, there's supposed to be a baptism here. And I would just say, not only to the one that is being baptized, but for each one of us, the beginning of the road is salvation. Coming to know Jesus is salvation, and that's the beginning of the road. So many times we get things mixed around. In our day to day, we get things mixed around. We think that get them saved, bring people to the Lord, and that is so important. But you know, discipleship is also important. Coming alongside, helping them along. They need that. We all need brothers and sisters that will come alongside, encourage, help share the load. This is God's will for us. So I want to start this morning in 1 John 5. I don't feel like I have things very well in order, but we'll look at what the Word has to say. 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. I think right here we have one of the things that are very, very important. Because we have an enemy that comes against us, and probably to the young Christians more so than the older. But he comes against us trying to make us feel like, make us believe that we don't belong in the family of God. Mm-hmm. Even after we know we've been born again, the enemy comes and tries to make us feel like that we just don't belong. We're not good enough. Or however he might come his way. But he says here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Really believing in your heart and knowing in your heart that Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. I belong to Him. He bought me with His blood. If we keep that firm belief in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are His. We don't need to listen to the enemy. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to stop here just a minute. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. As we put our trust in Jesus Christ, and we know Him, He has made us new. He is with us. We put our trust in Him. This is how we overcome the world, by trusting in Jesus Christ. Yes. Having our faith anchored in Him. The devil comes against us, trying to make us fear, or make us discouraged, or however he might come. But we can put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the sure anchor, and He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. In that time of need, when whatever is going on, He is right there for us. Put your trust in Jesus. He cares about you. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, we just continue to believe. When we come to the Lord, we surrender everything to Him. Give Him our life, our heart, give Him everything. And we know the peace and the joy that comes through that experience. We just keep walking in that same way. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting that He is there. And He will see me through.
Amen.
You know, I went to public school. And it seems as though there's oftentimes one or two bullies in a class. And it's not that they are so much bigger than anybody else. It's just that they think about themselves as being bigger, being stronger, being able to do things that others can't do. And they try to bully you around. Well, that's the way the devil does. He tries to bully us around. But we can come back to Jesus Christ Just call out to him. I need you. I've got a bully here that's trying to throw me off. He's trying to get me to do something wrong or whatever it is. Run to Jesus. When we learn to run to Jesus, we will find that he's always there. And he always cares. He doesn't stand away and watch what's going on and not care about us, but he's always there. He will see us through. Let's skip on down to verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This is the record that God has given to us, that Jesus Christ has brought salvation. Jesus Christ is eternal life to each one of us. I like that scripture in John 17. Jesus said, "This is life eternal. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." This word "know" is a very, very intimate word. It's the most, I believe it's the most intimate word we have in our vocabulary. How can I say this? It's as a man knowing a woman. And you can't get any closer. And this is what God says about us. If we know him in this way, we have eternal life. And so many times we allow things to come in the way and we get distracted from knowing our Father. But this is eternal life. We get to experience a part of eternal life now. We don't have to wait till we're in the over yonder. We get to enjoy eternal life now. It's a wonder. It's the only, how can I say it? It's the best way there is to live. You can choose to go other ways, but this is the way to go. This is eternal life. And this is the record that God hath given to us. And this life is in his Son. This life is in his Son. We have the record of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are we walking in him? Are we seeking after him? He that hath the Son hath life. Praise God. He that hath the Son. Those who know Jesus, those who are connected to Jesus, have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you know, as I think about the 10 virgins, Jesus said this is like the kingdom of heaven. And those 10 virgins, I take it to be a part of a group just like this. 10 virgins, but 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. We can sit in a group like this and be a foolish virgin. Just because we have a church fellowship to be in doesn't mean we're part of the wise. We have to seek God, continually seek the Lord for direction. seek to know him in a deeper way. He that hath the Son hath life. Do we have life eternal this morning? Are we walking with Jesus? He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let's go to Matthew 5. Jesus was speaking here. I don't know how much of the Sermon on the Mount y'all have memorized. I'm challenged with the way y'all memorize Scripture, and I want to encourage you to keep it up. But verse 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Ye are the salt of the earth. If you are a born-again child of God and you're walking with Him, you are the salt of the earth. The children of God are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say you might be the salt of the earth, but you are the salt. But, and this little word comes so often, and it changes everything. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. And then he says the same, very similar about light. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And this is what brings us to the real thrust of the message this morning, is the power of a personal testimony. You know, I'm so thankful this morning that we don't have to figure everything out doctrinally. We don't have to figure everything out to know all the details of the Christian life before we can obey the Word. Let your light so shine before men. In the life that you live, in the words that you speak, in all of your life, live your life in a way that causes people to see the light of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, if you live that way, you're living the way that the Lord Jesus wants you to live. You're pleasing to the Lord when you live in a way that others are pointed to Jesus. They see that light. And you know, many times people admire what they see even though they don't say anything about it. And they wish they had what you have. Live with the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can see who we serve. In Matthew 28, just before Jesus went back to the Father, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And that word power means authority. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. And that's to everyone who is born again. Every individual who has committed their life to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're young. In fact, I think sometimes young people have more to speak to the world about through their life than us older people do. Because the world expects older people to settle down and, you know, do more what they should do. Young people, the world looks at, they're just sowing their oats. Let them have time. But when they see a young person who is walking with the Lord, who is taking life seriously, they take notice. Right. Wait a minute. Those young people are different. There's something about these young people. So I want to encourage every one of you young people who have given your heart to the Lord. Serve the Lord with all you have. And be ready to testify. And I know this is a bit of a scary thing, but it doesn't have to be scary. And I want to show you this morning how you can testify for the Lord without it being scary. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus said there, he was speaking to his disciples, and this is, he was just fixing to ascend up to the Father. Maybe I'll start in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And I'm just going to throw something out here. I think there's a blessing on those who will read and seek to understand the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave to John. But I think we, as human beings, tend to get caught up in that and try to figure everything out so that we have it, this is the way it's going to be. And we miss, when we do that, we miss what he's telling his disciples right here. He said, it's not up to you to know the things that God has in his own power. But, again, this little word but changes it all. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses. Now, when a person has been a witness of an accident, they didn't just come up on the scene of an accident. They can't be a witness of what went on because they weren't there. But when they see it happen, this is a witness. When you see it happen. Now, when we have Jesus Christ in our heart, when he has become Lord of my life, Jesus is just saying, go out and tell others what I've done for you. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. You can be a newborn child of God and you can testify. This is what Jesus did to me. This is what he's done for me, and he can do it for you. That's not hard and it's not scary. Just say what God has done for you. How he cleansed you from sin, brought you into the family of God. And you know, when you stay with what you know, what you have witnessed, it takes away the arguments. You know, sometimes if you If you get into a discussion with somebody on doctrine or whatever, and I'm not trying to throw water on doctrine. Doctrine is very important. But when we go out to witness, when we meet somebody and they don't know the Lord, doctrine really doesn't matter to them. They don't know the Lord. But what does matter to them is what Jesus has done in my heart. And when I can testify to them, Jesus has saved my soul. And when you young people testify, Jesus has saved my soul. He is Lord of my life. He changed my life. I was once a sinner on the road to destruction, and Jesus came in and turned me around, and now I'm on the road to heaven. It's just what He's done for me. And it's not a scary thing. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5. This is a familiar story. Mark chapter 5, I'll read verses 1 through 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. This man was demon-possessed, and he had great power because of it. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You know, I believe this man was so tired of being driven by the devil. He wanted a better life. He wanted something that would satisfy him. He had been in bondage to the devil for so long, and he could never be tamed. No man could tame him. But when he saw Jesus, hope sprang up in his heart, and he ran and worshiped Jesus. You know, we don't know what God is doing in the heart of those individuals that we meet. Are we testifying of what Jesus has done in my heart, in my life? This is a challenge for each one of us. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And Jesus knew what was going on. He said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." It seems like the enemy is looking for a house. He's looking for a place to dwell. Praise God. When we have Jesus in our heart, the devil doesn't have room there. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil and had the legion. Now this is the man that from way around, everybody knew about this man that lived out there in the tombs and in the mountains and was cutting himself and doing all sorts of things. There probably wasn't one person miles around that hadn't heard of this man. He had been bound with fetters. And he would just break them loose. He was gone. They came out. The people from far came. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Now, why did they, when they saw, I believe I skipped some here. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why were they so afraid? I believe it was because they knew this man had power. This man that was possessed with the devil, they had tried numerous times to bind him where he couldn't get away and he couldn't do all of his terrible things. And now here was someone that had more power than this demonic man. They were afraid. They didn't understand about the power of God and that Jesus loves them. But they were afraid. And they said, please, leave. Just leave. We don't know what to do with this power. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So here we have this man that had been released from the power of the enemy. And I don't think I can comprehend how this man quite failed. After being bound so many years by the devil himself. All these demons. Driven. And one thing you can notice about a demon-possessed person, either written for us in the scripture or otherwise, when the devil's in charge, he takes people toward destruction. Always. We see that in Haiti today. Haiti was dedicated to the devil. And back in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, they rededicated the country to the devil. And what do you see there? Destruction. Somebody just mentioned to me recently, it's amazing how that on that little island, there are two countries, the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And right on the line, you can see destruction on the one side, and on the other side, things are flourishing. What's the difference? I believe it's because these people dedicated their country to the devil. And the devil is just showing what he does. And he continues, he does that in countries, and he does that individually. When we surrender to the devil, you can mark it down. That individual is going down. Well, we see here that Jesus, he doesn't force himself on people. And they prayed him to leave. They asked him to leave. Well, they were scared. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man wanted to go with Jesus. And we can very well understand why he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be in the presence of Jesus. Jesus has done so much for me. He set me free. I want to be with him. But Jesus answered him in a way that I wonder how we would have answered him. Jesus said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men marveled. When we walk with the Lord, we show to the world what Jesus has done for us. And when we have opportunity, we need to be speaking, opening our mouth and telling the world what Jesus has done for me and for you. Right. You know, when we have good news, we need to share it. And this is the good news from Almighty God. And He wants us to share what He has done for us. That's what He told this man. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Would you think there would be a better place for this man than just right at the feet of Jesus? That's the way I would normally think. Let's bring him in and really stay close to him so that he can grow in the Lord. And there's a place for that. But while we're doing that, we better be telling him, don't be scared to tell others around you. You know, you've got a story to tell. And each born-again child of God has a story to tell in this world. Jesus is saying, go home and tell what God has done for you. Each one of us, are we carrying out the commission that Jesus has given to us? Are we doing what really pleases Jesus? Right. Now I want to go over to chapter 6. Start at verse 53. Now this is a different name that is given, but it's the same general country, territory. And when they had passed over and came to the land of Gennesaret, and drew near to the shore, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. How did they know about Jesus? Why did they receive him with open arms? And ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard that he was. Somebody had done what Jesus told him to do. This man went home and he started spreading the news. I was bound by the devil. I was out in the mountains. I lived a terrible life. And I couldn't help myself. But Jesus came along and he healed me. He cast out the devil, the devils that were in him. He set him free from that bondage. And if for those of us who are here this morning and we've been set free from the bondage of the enemy, we need to be doing the same thing this man did. He went home and he told. And when Jesus came back, the people recognized, oh, this is Jesus. This is the man that set him free over there. I'm afraid far too often we are way too quiet. And I'm speaking to myself. We are way too quiet. We need to understand that what we have is what the world needs. The world needs the gospel of salvation. The gospel that sets men free. We need to go and tell. Go and tell what Jesus has done. And to Serenity, I want to tell you, this is the beginning of the road for you. Go and tell.